Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been talking about challenges to knowing and hearing from God. And basically, we look at that from two general perspectives. Things that God is teaching us and things that we are learning to overcome in our lives. And a lot of times, those are one and the same, but it sometimes helps to differentiate between the two. Regardless of the purpose, which category our training falls into or our conversation with God falls into, we know that what God is doing in our life is for our good. So we talked last week about being challenged to recognize and submit to the sovereignty of God. And that's, again, having that confidence that he has every aspect of our life orchestrated. When we have that confidence that he loves us and is doing what's best, resist that temptation to see ourselves as victims. So we look at the next challenge as being to acknowledge and take responsibility for the inheritance, gifts, and authority that God has given us. And we start with that we are not victims of God, ourselves, our parents, our history, our geography, our genealogy about your life for you, and you agreed to it. Some point in time, you thought it was a good idea, and when God said, this is what your life on this planet during Earth time is going to be, and you said, okay, I'm good with that. I see what I will learn, and I see that this is the only way, so I'll abide by your wishes. So we look at learning about the gifts and learning to exercise them as simply another aspect of our training. This is not about your purpose. This is about a project. Your purpose on this earth is to know God, to be healed, to let go of the lies we believe, and to learn how to live as a spirit being. We all have that same purpose. So we don't want to get distracted thinking, okay, God put me on this earth to be this or to do that, as far as being a good spouse or parent or pastor or having an impact on our community or anything like that. Speak for God, stand up for him, whatever. No. Now, those may be projects. God has you giving you those projects so you can know him. And it's resisting the almost constant temptation to take things into our own hands. This is why it's important to distinguish between the project and the purpose. when we understand that our goal is to depend on Him, come one, spirit, soul, and body, we can let go of trying to accomplish something, to achieve a level or a, you know, to earn a reward of some kind. Even if that reward is to be close to Him, it's still a reward. In Him, you have already received everything you'll need in this life for life and godliness. You've already received it. Likewise, all believers are gifted of God in your soul, but not all believers accept that or act on that reality. He gave you the soul you have. In our physical bodies, whether we were taught that we each have a heart or not, doesn't mean we don't have a heart. And that our heart is operating to give us our physical life. Even if you don't know how your organs work, they're doing their job. Don't pay much attention unless we start to have trouble. Now, many are educating themselves about how our actions today affect the health, the longevity, and even the effectiveness of our heart and our other physical, the rest of our physical body, which affects our quality and length of life here on this earth. Now, we're talking about our physical body. And as a soulical being, that we have a soul, that part of your soul is responsible for your physical being. So whether you're a Christian or not, body is not responsible for itself. It doesn't make decisions as far as taking care of it or itself or not. There are some decisions that are purely physical, like your heart doesn't have to decide to beat. It's just beating. There's no decision made there. But how we treat our heart is a choice and a series of choices that we make. So we learn that each of us is responsible for and has authority over our bodily health, though we had no say in its inception and have to go to great lengths to get accurate information from the medical community about the best way to take care of our body. So it's work to take care of our body appropriately. But hopefully we each recognize that it is our responsibility, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you have been born again spiritually or not. Likewise, each of us is responsible for educating ourselves regarding our gifts. That's right, our gifts. Though we are reborn as sons of God and co-inheritors with Jesus, we grow into dependence through this life process, acknowledging and accepting responsibility, and even sometimes accepting credit for our own dependent relationship with God, including the precision and operation of the gifts, is one helpful measure of our understanding of our purpose here in this life. Again, to be healed to have our flesh exposed, and to live in full dependence on God. Now, sometimes we have a little trouble with accepting credit. We think that humility is turning away any acknowledgement that we ourselves have a reaping effort that we put into learning how to minister in the gifts. But part of taking responsibility is accepting credit. We often find it much easier, not all of us, but most of us, easier to accept criticism than praise. And we need to be able to do both. Because operating in the gifts is risk, is work, is effort, trial and error. Now, the gifts are good. They are for us. Now, of course, they can be abused and they can be misunderstood, like any other aspect of our soul. But that doesn't mean we ignore the gifts. We simply acknowledge we're in process. We're learning. Just as Jesus learned, we learn. And we've talked before about how sometimes we learn much better from making mistakes rather than doing things right the first time. So you're going to make mistakes. You might as well learn how to deal with it, how to go to God for that encouragement, for whatever you need. If you need dealing with correction or criticism or praise or recognition, that's what he's there for, to help you manage it, deal with it, accept it, and to perhaps recognize any other manipulation that might be going on, for better or for worse. God knows what you need, providing all the resources, arranging all your circumstances so that you can be ready for tomorrow. And whatever gifts he may be working with you, don't try to read into what your tomorrow might be based on the gifts. One thing God often does is he will distract us by what he's teaching us and then put us in a situation where something totally out of the blue, totally unexpected, a situation will arise and we will have a response from him that we hadn't even contemplated that would be a position we'd be in, a situation. So we recognize that a lot of times God slips these things in on us, didn't even realize that that would be something on his heart for us. So we let him teach and train us on a moment-by-moment basis. So we are challenged to acknowledge and take responsibility for the inheritance, the gifts, and the authority God has given us. Do you know that you already have authority over the soulical realm and the natural realm if you are a spirit being, if you've been born again? You already have that authority. Now, God being a wise God does not put us in situations to exercise authority more than we can handle, for the most part. Now, sometimes he will put us in situations, and he's free to do that, where we try to manage things on our own authority. And very likely reap the consequences. Individuals, we have the same authority, shall we say, over heaven and earth that Jesus Christ did. The same authority over the supernatural realm. The same authority over the natural realm, over heaven and earth, and everything in between, and everyone in between. See examples, and we learn from the examples that we have of how Jesus treated people and how he related to his Father. But you are going to have your own circumstances and experiences. And that's one of the fascinating things and encouraging things that we see from all the examples, all the different stories of how Jesus especially dealt with his disciples. He did not treat them all the same. He treated them individuals. You are an individual, and God treats you that way. He's not interested in making you into a robot or a clone. But making you one body. One in yourself and one in him. So there's a responsibility there. And how does that fit in with relying on God? When you think of the word responsibility, think of the word respond. When God says, this is the way, walk in it. How do you respond? That's where your responsibility is. It's not to do something he hasn't told you. It's not to try something that he has not equipped you for. It's not to listen to other people directing you or you directing yourself. It's respondability, responding to what he is doing in your life. So if God is speaking to you about a gift or gifts, respond. That's your responsibility. Give him the time, the opportunity to teach you. Now, if that's not something he's drawing your attention to, then don't respond. It's not your responsibility. There's going to be times in your life when everything's quiet. Be thinking, though, that God's not at work. Very often, he's doing his deepest work in us when we are totally unaware. And then when he finally draws something to our attention, it's so we can participate in the last 2% because he's already done the 98%. We think he needs our help. He doesn't need it, but he wants our involvement. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to reveal ourselves in that truth. There is no hiding. But sometimes things need to be hidden for our sake. So there's going to be times when he's going to say, not yet. This is especially difficult for many these days who have received prophetic words, that God has some purpose and project in their lives, and there's no progress towards it. Perhaps the exact opposite of what was expected is happening. And there may be multiple reasons why that's the case. Maybe it wasn't from God. Maybe it was misunderstood. Maybe it was not acted upon. Maybe it has not yet happened. How do we address that maybe? We ask God. He's a real person. He wants to have conversations with us. He doesn't want to be treated like he's a God afar off. He wants to have the chance to speak to us, with us, and in us, to reveal himself to us, to open our ears and our hearts. You have no idea what he wants to say to you. Now, he's already talking to you full time, 24/7, in your spirit. But we resist in our soul because our soul wants to maintain control. Sometimes we don't know how to hear him. This is where cultivating that quiet lifestyle, learning to be still before him and just listen, have that open ear. And isn't it fascinating that you can't control whether the ear is hearing or not? It's not like your eye or your mouth can close your eye and not see anything. Your ear is always open. It's always hearing, but it's not always listening. We block out so much in our physical ears, our physical hearing. The hum of machines, the background noise, our own heart beating, we block that all out. But developing that quiet lifestyle quickens our physical hearing as well as our soulical senses. God knows what he's doing, and he knows what senses need to be quickened, what need to be cleaned out, maybe a little surgery, maybe a little antibiotics applied, maybe a little instruction on how your senses work. But you have them. And he wants to teach you how to hear him. Not so that you can minister in the gifts, but so that you can hear him. He enjoys your presence. He wants us to enjoy his presence. So we are also challenged to deal with our individual temperaments, strengths, and weaknesses. God gave you the temperament he wanted you to have. It ain't broke, and he ain't going to fix it. And again, your temperament is the way your mind, your will, and your emotions are put together. Now, there's a lot of different ways out there that temperament, personality, can be described and classified. And some of them are great, some of them aren't so great. That's just my opinion. But the approach we're going to take is simply for convenience. It's helpful for what we're trying to get across. I kind of reserve the right to change this approach at any time. And I'm certainly not saying that if you learned another approach, that there's anything wrong with it. The test of it, though, is what you're being taught bringing you into greater dependence on God? Or is it causing you to be distracted by your soul? Now, the three main elements of our soul, we all have a soul. God gave it to us at some time. This is not something we inherited from our parents. We inherited from our parents genetically the physical body. You have a mind, you have a will, and you have emotions. And if you want to go more deeply into those, just review the archives on the site. We've gone through them several times. And hopefully that'll give you a really good background. If not, feel free to drop me a line through Blog Talk Radio or at diane@therainersclub.org, and I'll point you in the right direction or answer your question if it's fairly concise. But basically, we want to understand that the way your mind works and the way your will works and the way your emotions work was determined by God. He decided this is what he wanted you to have. So we don't argue about the way we're made. If it's good enough for God, it's good enough for us. Now, there's strengths and weaknesses to every temperament. Sometimes those strengths and weaknesses are defined according to how they function in our particular culture and society. Likewise, a lot of times temperaments work better in one gender or another, though they are not related. So there are layers, and we have to work through sometimes some of the stereotypes, some of the distractions and misinterpretations of how our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, temperament, functions apart from our physical body, which is where our gender is, our gender, our age, our history. So we learn to distinguish between the two, and yet we don't get distracted by it. You are not your soul. You are not your temperament. You are not your body. You are a spirit being. If you have been born again, you are a living spirit being. If you have not been born again, you are a dead spirit being. You are dead in your spirit. But that is still who you are. You have a soul. We all have a soul, and we all live while we're here on this earth in our body. And we learn to distinguish, as God trains us, between our body, our soul, and our true nature, which is spirit. So we'll pick it up there next week Until then, this is Diane Thomas of the Rainers Radio. Drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. Until next week, have a great night.